Hello, Lisa and Pete here with a catch-up.
Today we go to our very own Andrew Embley for his opinion on this new report released about the West Coast Eagles in the early to mid-2000s.
Justin Hamilton reviews the show Botched and won't be holding back on his feelings.
Plus, Todd Sampson has a chat about his new show Life on the Line, where he does indeed put his life on the line.
Lisa and Pete are allowed to use the coffee machine at work if they behave themselves. Autobahn are authorised to perform logbook services. Find your nearest at autobahn.net.au.
Here we are. We are just ahead of this weekend.
Away.
I know, days away. And isn't it just a coincidence that a publishing of a 2008 report by Victorian Supreme Court Judge William Gillard detailing how deep the drug issues of the Eagles culture through that period of 05, 06, 07 and so on is released. For more on this and somebody who is rejecting these claims, we're joined by our very own Andrew Embley. Hey, Embers.
No, oh, g'day, Pete.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
This would be about as coincidental as that report that came out about Daniel Chick just before the grand final, wouldn't it, Embers? It feels like Groundhog Day.
Well,
I mean,
it is, actually.
For God's sake, it's 10 years ago now.
Mm.
And you just feel like these questions were all answered last year around 10-year reunion time.
Yes.
It just seems to be a topic that just doesn't go away. It's really no new information that we don't already know. People are over it. And,
yeah, quite a new conversation.
Put our hands up and say we made some mistakes, but certainly for the work that we did post 2006, our football club's in a much better position. And you only have to look at the current playing group and the football that they're playing at the moment, playing a grand final a few years ago, and now in a position to be able to win another grand final, hopefully in the next few years.
Seems to me that, yes, for starters, it's a whole new football team. Stuff went on. Stuff went on at all of the clubs. Clubs are doing their best to stamp it out. And that's it, really. End of story. And if I hear one more argument that recreational type of drugs are like performance-enhancing drugs, I can't think of anything less performance-enhancing.
Well, you know, I heard some comments made by Kevin Barlett during the day, and obviously I have a lot of respect for Kevin, but as you mentioned, there is a big difference between illicit drugs and performance-enhancing drugs. Now, I'm not saying by no means taking illicit drugs is...
We're not condoning it.
But there is a big difference. So for anyone to think that the guys were taking illicit drugs and thinking that was going to help them play better football, well, you're kidding yourself.
Embers, you have made comments today about the saying that it was actually the club culture actually affected the 2007 Premiership, and something that...
Yep.
I read earlier was that apparently John Worsfold, at the end of 2007, following the Collingwood loss, named players who he thought brought the season down. Did that actually happen?
I don't recall that. Obviously, when you come to the end of the season, you reflect and you have a look at the year, the way it unfolded. And no doubt, post-2006, things started to really unravel at the football club with certain individuals, and I think it just really took its toll on everyone. So, obviously, Chris Judd left at the end of 2007, so it was a real changing off the guard.
Maney died that year. That had a big effect on the club and everybody involved in that club for quite a few years afterwards.
Absolutely, it did. A lot of people were obviously affected by that. So, in regards to what people are thinking, if that 2006 Premiership was tarnished, well, you only had to come to one of our pre-season training sessions and see how the way the guys prepared themselves and trained to realise that, you won that grand final on pure work rates and hard work and professionalism.
Well, the shot that we always see is Ben Cousins and Chris Judd holding the cup up, with Ben Cousins throwing his arms around. And Chris Judd came out today and said the exact same thing, and I think he is seriously one of the most respected men in AFL.
I think he's one of the most sensible guys in the league, yes. I think we can believe what he says.
Embers, thanks, mate. We'll catch you on the call this weekend. There seems to be a bit of a rhythm going with this guy. I mean, back in July 2016, puts body on the line for new TV show. That was Body Hack. And now puts life on the line for science in new show called Life on the Line. We're joined by Todd Sampson. Good to have you on the show for a new one, mate.
Hey, Todd.
Hi there, It feels like not that long ago, really.
Todd, people think you're an ad man. I mean, in your new show, you put your faith in science to the ultimate test in a series of epic experiments trusting your life to the laws of physics. I'm starting to worry now. I mean, you're not MacGyver.
No, definitely not MacGyver. But this show is about exploring the natural laws of science that exist all around us, like heat and gravity and resistance. And I just wanted to do it in an entertaining way, a way that people would watch. In many ways, it is a trilogy from Redesign My Brain 1 and 2 to Body Hack now to Life on the Line. So
I'm just going to stick with reading the, you know, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy myself. Getting through that will be enough.
Well, I'm going to say from Madman to Madman, mate, because, I mean, seriously, I watched Body Hack, you know, fervently. I loved that show. To see you put yourself through things like the French Foreign Legion training, and I really didn't know how you might be able to take it up a notch here, and yet that's what we're going to experience with Life on the Line. How do we go to that next level now?
Well, this show is, again, another adventure science show, but it's very experiment-based, and because we test all these laws, because I've always believed in them, and science has been my way of understanding the world, but now I just want to test that faith.
Yeah, but as Buster himself.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, this series, of all the stuff I've done, and I'm glad you watched the last series, but this was definitely the riskiest stuff I've ever done.
Facing an AK-47 at point-blank range. Okay, so it's underwater, but it's still an AK-47.
Mm. Yeah, there was a funny moment with this. So, theoretically,
if
you fire an AK-47 above water in the air, right? So this episode is about resistance. And if you fire an AK-47 above, in the air, it can travel 2 kilometers.
Good
but
Lord.
Based on Cameron McAvoy, the Olympic swimmer and part-time physicist and applied mathematics student, based on his calculation with 30 minutes at a whiteboard, he said to me, I could stand, theoretically, 1.8 meters in front of a gun and fire it underwater. So I said, look, I'm going to factor in you're a student and you're a tired swimmer. So I'm going to add another meter, and we're good to go.
Far out.
Good Lord.
Now, Todd, what goes into the preparation for something like that? And do you have a whole team of people around you ready to go just
that's
in case?
That's the problem, egging him on. That's the,
what, you,
no,
a whole bunch
no, no,
of
no.
boys.
No.
You miscalculate.
No, I definitely have a whole team of people. I have the same crew that I film with, the crew I film with all the shows I've done, right? So same DOP, same director. They're all good friends of mine. But in this show, it's a real conflict between practical engineers and builders and physicists. So the physicists are always saying, based on 1,000 years, this should work. And the engineers going, we're going to kill this book if we do it like that.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of toing and froing to get the actual experiment correct.
Looking forward to this. Have you shot the entire season for Life on the Line?
Yeah, it's all.
Okay.
It's all
thank God you've lived to tell the tale.
Exactly, right. So
that could be awkward.
You know, spoiler alert, but the guy's still alive, right? So
thank God.
You'd have heard us mention a couple of things throughout this. Go and check out Body Hack. Go and check out Redesign My Brain, and that'll get you nice and warmed up for tonight. When Life,
it's a trilogy.
Yeah, when Life on the Line premieres. Todd Sampson, an absolute pleasure, mate.
Thanks for having me.
You're the bravest man I know.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talk and Telly, this is Justin Hamilton. Talk and Telly.
What do you got for us this week, J-Ham?
Well, I'm going to be honest. The best thing I can say about the reality TV show Botched is that when I forgot what I was reviewing today and I looked at my notes, I saw the heading, which was Botched Review, and it seemed appropriate. This, have you seen this at all?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much a show that centres on a bunch of really sad people who have had all sorts of surgery that has gone horribly wrong, and they've realised the only sensible way to deal with it is to have more surgery.
On television.
On television.
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
Yes.
And look, don't get me wrong. I understand the disappointment of looking in the mirror and wondering where your hair went and why your cheekbones are hidden under a layer of fat and notice that little undercarriage of your chin for the first time. Mm. You know, even though it's a constant source of disappointment watching my face age, I have an even bigger fear of trying to stop the aging process and ending up like looking, you know, like the cat lady. That would be my fear.
Oh, Jocelyn Wilderstein.
You know, I'll just have a little hit here and I'll just a little lift here and then suddenly you guys are getting some whiskettes for me when I come into the studio.
And the money they spend on it as well. I mean, there was that bloke who spent, what was it, $150,000 to look like Justin Bieber?
There was one guy who wanted to be he already dubs himself the number one Madonna impersonator in the world.
Mm.
And he's had so many surgeries so he can look like her. And I have to be honest, like, while I was watching him, I was thinking, which Madonna are you trying to look like? I think he looked more like Diego Maradona in a wig than Madonna. My favourite, though, was a young woman who identifies herself as, and I hope you're both sitting down for this, a reality rock star.
Oh, well, she's gone to the right place because, you know, Terry Dubrow's brother was the lead singer of Iron Maiden.
Oh.
Little fun fact for you.
Boom. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, that would have made some pretty interesting dinner conversations.
He's one of the plastic surgeons. Yeah.
Well, her name was Safari. And that's
Safari.
Yeah. And it's
so
fiery. Spelt Safari. And I just need to point out, that's not a name. That's not just a collection of
bunch of letters thrown up in the air. And the way they came down on the Scrabble board is the way she went for it.
So Safari lost weight and her boobs deflated. And so she went to get some lipo to get back her, in inverted commas, hotness from the doctor.
Her boobies.
And so, yes. But what,
you said boobies.
Never not funny. Never not funny.
Yep.
So what ended up happening is her boobs got so big, she felt as if, and these are her own words, she felt as if she had a midget in her breast. And the sad thing about this is that Safari sounds like she's being truthful when she says, and this is a direct quote, the reason she wanted to get surgery, I want bigger breasts to give me the confidence I need to have people look me in the eye.
That's it. I'm done. I'm out.
That's the worst thing to get done. You know, if she'd said, I want bigger breasts because I want my boobies to have their own postcode, yes. I would have said that's fair enough. But that's just the opposite of anyway.
Oh, wow.
And don't you think the doctors look like they've escaped from an episode of Twin Peaks?
Yes.
Like, they're so strange. They kind of don't feel like they fit into the real world. They do thousands of dollars of work on people's faces, but then they're spending about $1.37 on the rest of the production values for the show.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Look, this show is essentially about sad people looking to get ahead and creepy doctors who can make this happen. This might be the worst show of the year, and the only thing that it has going for it is, I think the title is spot on. Botch Channel 9, 10:05 p.m. Monday. No thumbs needing a tummy tuck.
But an eyebrow up.
Without a doubt.
Lisa and Pete join you for the drive home, but Autobarn can get you there with a free local client pick up and drop off with your Autobarn car service.